This is a download from the Scottish Railway Preservation Society.
Just putting some lights on the engine now. We've got two lights showing it's a passenger train.
This is Soundworks, a magazine for railway enthusiasts around the world, coming to you from Bowness in Scotland.
Hello, and welcome to this, the 11th edition of Sound Blast, the Scottish Railway Preservation Society's download, the totally non-visual magazine. I'm Sandy Simpson, and I'm right here in Bowness in central Scotland with the indefatigable David Bytheway, the editor, producer and roving reporter for Sound Blast. We'll be hearing from David later when he discovers more about the Autumn Diesel Gala on the Bowness and Kinneil Railway, which is the operating division of the Scottish Railway Preservation Society. But first, despite including the word preservation in its title, the SRPS is not all about the past. Far from it. The Bowness and Kinneil Railway was transferred into three different time zones for the shooting of a new Hollywood blockbuster, Cloud Atlas, in September. The film, starring Tom Hanks, Holly Berry and Jim Broadbent, sees the action set on trains of different periods.
With me now is the location manager, Cindy Thompson. Cindy, there's lots of people around here today. The car park is full of trucks and there's cameras and technicians everywhere. What actually are you doing?
We're filming some sequences for a feature film, Cloud Atlas. We've been working in Scotland for the last 2 weeks, and this is part of our overall filming, which will be from now until Christmas. We're in Scotland for 2 weeks, and today we're in Bowness and Kinneil Railway.
So what shots do you want to get here?
We're filming three of our main cast on trains in three different periods of time. We're shooting the 1930s, the 1950s and 2012.
How difficult is it for a film crew to come to a place like Bowness and turn on the magic, make it what it isn't, a 1930s style station?
I would say that generally it's very difficult, but Bowness and Kinneil Railway are very film friendly. They're extremely helpful. We scouted this location months ago now as part of our initial scouting for filming in Scotland. We met with Amanda, the business development manager, and she showed us around all the station buildings.
The first phone call was in April, actually, where the film, well, the location manager is looking for locations to shoot what they need, and the location manager contacted me and came down for a site visit, basically to see what we had on offer for those different periods. And they always start with an idea, and sometimes they have to adapt the idea to what's available to use. So they really didn't have to adapt too much because we really had what they needed. And then another five site visits later, they're here recording.
Much of our filming is inside the coaches, so we were very keen to look at what was available here. There's a huge amount available, so we were spoiled for choice, really, and we have selected a coach from each of these periods, and we'll be filming various sequences up and down the track.
You seem to have an awful lot of people here. Do you actually need all these people to make the film work?
Well, that's a good question. Believe it or not, we do need all these people, and I know for an outsider looking in on this business, it must seem like lots of people stand around doing nothing, but the film industry is very, very compartmentalised. Everybody has a very specific job. Everybody knows exactly what their job is, and at the time when they're required to do something, they're on set doing their job and knowing that other people are doing their own respective jobs, so that it all merges together and we have a kind of fully operational film set.
And how's it going today?
It's going very well today. The sun's shining. There's a bit of grey cloud, but that's not surprising given that it's Scotland. We just have to wait 2 minutes and the clouds clear again. So, yeah, it's going really well today.
Howard, you're going to be driving this today. Is this your first film call, first film set?
No.
We did. Was involved in the 39 Steps production a couple of years ago, where I was driving the 27.
But today you're driving what? What is this?
It's classed the Swindon Class 126 DMU,
and it's come back into service comparatively recently, hasn't it? It's not all that often, is it?
It's not. It's not the most amenable of machines, as I think you've just seen this morning.
What was the problem?
No particular problems. No, it's just somewhat more complicated to set up and get working than just starting a diesel locomotive.
And why do they want this particular set today?
Well, as far as I know, this is representing the 1950s, and that's about the extent of my knowledge of the filming that they're doing today. They've got a set out for the 30s, I think, this for the 50s, and a 156 for the present time.
Is it good fun doing the filming?
It actually mostly consists of standing about with your hands in your pockets, followed interspersed by moments of considerable stress.
Okay, we'll leave you to get on with it. Thanks very
much. Okay, thank you very much.
With me now is Alan Scott. You're the guard on the second train. Alan, what does it comprise of? What's the engine, first of all?
The engine is our Class 37, 37175, which has recently been named with a very good member of the society, W.S. Seller, and that is the engine that we're using today, also consisting of the two Thompson coaches which are going to be used in the filming. The storyline for the Thompson coaches is that they're doing scenes in a 1930s style, and that's the reason why we're using the old steak coaches which used to run in these days.
Are you looking forward to it? Have you done filming before?
Yes, I've been involved in the 39 Steps. I was involved in another German film quite a few years back, but I can't remember the name now. But yes, looking forward to the day, and hopefully seeing it in the cinema in a day to come.
For an up-to-date railway setting, ScotRail provided a Class 156. Since most of the shots were filmed inside the coaches, the motive power was not vital for the filmmakers. But for the record, the Class 126 was driven by Howard Miller, and the Thompson coaches were hauled by 37175, driven by Graham Scott, with Alan Scott as guard. David Bryce was the conductor, and Ian Gent was the guard on the ScotRail Class 156. 156-499 for the record.
But what does the railway get out of this?
The railway, we charge a fee for use of our facilities and time, and there's a really amazing effort from the volunteers to put this on. But as well as that, we get lots of publicity out of this, and there's definitely a wave at the moment in film tourism, where lots of people are coming over to Scotland, especially to look at film locations such as where the Harry Potter was filmed, and also the Da Vinci Code, filmed in Roslyn Chapel. And I've seen that their visitor numbers have kind of quadrupled since that
film. You're hoping the same will happen?
Yeah, well, you never know.
Thanks very much indeed.
Cloud Atlas, starring Tom Hanks, Holly Berry and Jim Broadbent, and of course the Bowness and Gavial Railway, is expected to be released during 2012. Look out for it arriving in a cinema near you. But hark! As stars of the Pioneer or Talkies were wont to say, cupping a hand to an ear to emphasise the point, what's that I can hear? Full marks to you if you said, it's a Class 37. It is. But you'll have to take my word for this. It's 37175, powering up for her part in the Autumn Diesel Gala on the Bowness and Kinneil Railway during the first weekend in October, when there were 14 daily departures from Bowness, with alternate trains running to Manual and intermediate trains going to Birkhill or Kinneil. Almost all of the Society's functioning mainline locals were in use, the main exception being 25235, which is confined to yard duties due to a worn tyre. But there was no such problem with the recently repainted and renamed 37175 W.S. Seller, And the tireless David, by the way, caught up with Stuart A. Seller, the son of W.S. Seller, after whom the locomotive is named, and chairman of the SRPS Diesel Group, and asked what made diesels so special for him.
Well, they play a part in the railway here at Bowness, and although they do the last train on a Saturday and a Sunday, this is the one weekend of the year where we get the chance to run them all and do something especially for diesel enthusiasts to, who can come down and spend the day travelling behind all the different ones we have.
Take me through the diesels you've got in the fleet. What's the one that, the furthest back, what's the oldest one you've got?
The oldest one, I think, is the Class 20, which I think is 1958 or 1959.
That's 200...
20 over 20.
Yeah. That's just returned, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been at the Wensleydale Railway for the last 12 months. It came back in June. They were using it to keep their service going. Mm-hmm. Well, they don't have any residents of their own, so...
And after that, that's 20 or 20, 1958. What else have we got that comes next, would you say?
The other 26, 26024, I think that was built in 1960. Mm-hmm. The 27001, that was 1961, I think.
These ones were multi-purpose locomotives, weren't they? They could pull freight as well as passenger trains, isn't that right?
Yeah, they did everything. They worked all over Scotland, freight and passenger. If you had a bigger train, you just put two of them in the front. Very versatile locos.
And are they easy to maintain? Because you do the maintenance here, don't you?
Yeah, the Type 2s are quite easy to maintain. They're quite simple. Nothing on them's too difficult. The bigger locos, like the 37 and the 47, they take a bit more looking after.
Yeah, I was going to say that after the Class 20s, we go up to what? We've got Class 30...
We've got 37175. We've got three 37s on site at Bowness now. 175 is the only one that's operational at the moment. 025, which has been running the last 3 years, is now getting a new set of wheel sets fitted and some other work to make it suitable to run in the big railway.
One of them is a film star, of course, isn't it?
Which one?
Matt's one.
It's been in a couple of things now, yeah.
That's right.
So there's one thing which was on during the year, earlier in the year, and there's another film that's... I think it's being reshot in the next couple of weeks.
So why are diesels so important? Why, I asked you this before, but what's the thrill of maintaining diesels?
Well, I like them, and there's lots of other people here like them as well.
What's the special thrill?
It's just what you grew up with, what you know, and what you remember from when you were younger. Same as the generation before us, like steamwalkers.
Stuart Seller was speaking with David, by the way. Now, as a rule, life for the signalman in Bowness Signal Box is fairly placid. But with 14 departures and arrivals and numerous shunt moves each day during the Diesel Gala weekend, the weekend was pretty hectic for the duty signalman, as David, by the way, found out when he visited Ian Gordon in the box.
A gala day is very, very busy because there's at least an hour of train service, plus all the shunting moves to get the engines in the right place, on the right train, and the right train, the right platform, etc. So it is quite hectic.
So who does all the forward planning to work out where the engine is and the rolling stock is at the right time?
Whoever is does the... hold on. Hi!
DMU to bed.
DMU to bed, OK.
So you were interrupted there. So what are you going to do here? I'll just keep running.
Yeah, I'm going to put the DMU from the main platform into its siding because that's it finished for today.
Right, OK. So what do we do?
Here we go. So I'm going to reset the road. Now the last departure was from the bay platform. The DMU at the moment is in the main platform. So I've got to change the points to allow the DMU to run from the main platform.
That's the point set, is it?
That's the point set at the moment. I'll now take the signal off, number 19, which is the platform starting signal. And that will allow the DMU to run up to number 20, which is the section signal, and then he'll change, the driver will change ends, and he'll come back in through the crossover and into the yard. That's him on the move now.
Looks quite nice, the DMU, isn't it?
It is very nice.
What year is that?
About 1956, 57, round about then.
Whereabouts did they operate?
The Edinburgh Glasgow was the first. They got on the half-hourly service to Edinburgh and Glasgow, and then in 59, I think it was, the Ayrshires followed.
And were they successful? Were they popular?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, very successful. The only trouble with them, in a strong wind, they were 70, reached 70, which was the maximum speed.
Three-car DMU.
And that's this platform starting signal going back to danger. And once it's cleared the crossover, I'll reset the road. And that's the road set, so I'm taking back into the sidings. Now you're asking who does the diagrams for the rolling stock and the drivers and what have you. The event organiser takes that aboard, he decides what he wants to do, and then they give me or Angus the draft timetable of the proposals. We'll run through it and say we don't like that or we can't do this. And then once it's all agreed, it's published and it's run okay yesterday and today. It's been going like clockwork.
But there can be some problems. I noticed that the last train, not this one, the one before, stopped. What happened there?
There was a door not properly closed, which I had spotted when it passed the signal box. So I stopped him at number 20 signal, which is the section signal, told the guard, and he closed the door, and then the train carried on its way.
So that's one of the duties of the signalman, is it?
That's one of the duties of the signalman, to look at every train that passes, see everything's in order. It's got a tail lamp. Nothing else unusual about it, brakes dragging or anything like that.
Now we're waiting for the DMU to come back, so what's happening now?
He should be changing ends at the moment. In fact, it looks like he's just changed ends.
Yeah, that was one of the benefits of these type of vehicles, wasn't it? You could have a the driver could just walk through.
Just walk through, yeah. And he's on the move, I think, is he? Ah, that's him on the move now. So you hear him coming past the box in a second or two.
Mm. What sort of fuel do they use?
It's just ordinary diesel.
So no messy coal or anything like that?
Yeah, no. It's much easier than a steam engine. You just go in, turn the key, start the engine, and away you go.
Have you driven these ones yourself?
I have done, yes.
What are they like past to drive?
Oh, dead easy. Yeah. No fun in it at all, unlike a steam engine.
Here it comes. And the numbers on the front, what's that signify?
That was the head code that BR used.
2G03.
That was probably Glasgow. I don't know. Can't remember all the head codes nowadays. I'll now reset the road. Getting back to normal for the next move. Now, here's two light engines coming for the next train. So, again, we'll...
And the engines are, what are they?
There's a 26 and a 27.
They're just coming out the side of the...
They're coming out the yard, going into the main platform to work the next train. Now, as you can see, you've been in here, what, 10, 15 minutes, David?
Mm-hmm.
And we've had three moves so far.
Yep.
So it's quite hard work for an old man like me. Not as young as you used to be.
What have you just done there?
That's me just set the crossover back to normal and pulled the signal off for the engines to get back onto the main platform to be coupled to their train.
This is 226, are they?
26 and 27.
Now, they were quite common, weren't they? As
oh, yes. They were all over the place up here.
Mm-hmm.
We had a lot of them.
They were freight trains as well as passenger trains?
They were both, yes, freight and passenger.
And were they good, engines?
Yeah, well, they've lasted a long time, and they were probably more reliable than some of the other more modern ones that appeared, then disappeared. Some of them only lasted 7, 8, 9 years. The big problem is, like everything else, it's okay when things are okay, but when things go wrong, that's when you need the experience.
Yeah. And after you've done all these moves, have you to record it, write it all down?
Not the shunting moves, but for the pastor trains leaving and arriving, we record that. Mm-hmm. But we don't record the shunting moves.
Otherwise you'd never be away from the book.
Exactly.
Yes. Here they come.
There's them coming back.
And are these fueled just by ordinary diesel as well?
Yes.
It must have been a revolution when these...
I mean, that was one of the big problems. They put these into old steam sheds without any facilities, and it did cause the diesel a lot of problems because they require a much cleaner environment than the steam engine did.
We'll leave you there. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
For your visit to the signal box. Thank you.
David was speaking with Ian Gordon, operations manager of the Bowness and Kinneil Railway. And speaking of operations, diesel enthusiasts will want to know that D2767, D3558, 2020, 2624, 27001, 37175, 47643 and the Class 126 Intercity DMU were all active during the Autumn Diesel Gala weekend. They'll also want to know that the next Diesel Gala will be over the last weekend of July 2012, that's Saturday the 28th and Sunday the 29th, with the promise there'll be something happening on the evening of Friday the 27th. Visit srpsdiesel.com for more details nearer the time. And that pretty well wraps up this edition of Sound Blast. In the next edition, we report on how Murrayshire was put back on her wheels. Meanwhile, you can contact us online at www.srps.org.uk/soundblast, or lowercase. That's www.srps.org.uk/soundblast. Or you can write to us at SoundBlast, two words this time with initial capitals, SoundBlast, SRPS, Union Street, Bowness, West Lothian, EH519AQ, Scotland. The tireless roving reporter, editor and producer has been David, by the way. And I'm Sandy Simpson, wishing you all that you wish yourself from everyone here at the Scottish Railway Preservation Society at Bowness in Scotland.